Morning, counsel. Ready to proceed? Let's go.
May I please report, point of order first, should we switch tables?
Yes, you should.
We should. Okay, thank you. This appeal, 101 appeal, was originally conceived as the by us to be perhaps seminal case to determine whether or not method of treatment claims in the pharmaceutical area were patentable under Mayo. Since then, during the briefing, the Vanda decision came down, which decided the issue presented in this case definitively. The claims in Vanda are indistinguishable from those here. And frankly, Your Honor, unless you have questions, I know you have a very busy calendar today, and I would cede the floor to my opponent to explain Vanda and then reserve my time for rebuttal.
That's fine.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you for your candor.
Good morning, Judge Wallach, and may it please the court. I guess I'll go straight to Mayo. And first of all, Vanda did not hold that any administering step will make the claims patent eligible. Endo, and this is our first opportunity to respond to Endo's take on Vanda. Endo's reply brief talks a lot about the administering step. Supreme Court tells us in Benson, Mayo, and Alice that adding apply it or compute it to an ineligible claim won't save it under 101. Vanda didn't announce a different rule for administrative claims. Vanda turned on the specific administering step at issue in that case, and it's meaningfully different from Endo's in two related ways. The last step of the claims in Vanda, the step... The administering step of Vanda is like a flowchart. It recites specific doses of a drug, and those specific doses are directly tied to the result of the diagnostic step, which is the previous step. The second step of Vanda claims a genotyping assay to check for specific mutations in the patient's DNA. And the final step says that if the patient has those mutations, give the patient 12 milligrams or less of iloperidone. And if not, give the patient 12 milligrams to 24 milligrams of iloperidone. Endo's claims don't recite specific doses, and they don't have the direct tie to the diagnostic step that comes before. They just say, check the patient's kidneys and then reduce the dose if you need to. All Endo's claims...
It measures, it has four different categories of the creatine clearance rate, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes, and so two points about that, that there is no tie between those categories and the last step. It doesn't say... So Vanda tells you exactly what to do depending on the result of the test. The last step in Endo's claims doesn't tell you what to do if it's in this category, that category, or a different category. It just says, check the patient's kidneys, put their creatinine clearance rate in one of these four boxes, and then just reduce the dose if you need to. And that's it. There's no direct tie. There's no specific dose, just that. And the other
point, about the wearing clause language? How does that inform the dosage?
Just one more point on the creatinine boxes before I get to that is that the creatinine boxes cover every possible.
You're not going to answer the question?
May I make one last quick point about?
Why don't you answer my question?
Sure.
And then you can go back to your point.
Sorry, I had two of your questions in front of me. So the last step of the claims, the wear-in clause. All that does is tell the doctor, after you check the patient's kidneys, after you adjust the dose, at some later time, there's a certain level of oxymorphone in the patient's kidneys. It doesn't tell the doctor what to do. It just says there's anything there. I mean, and my other point, which actually also answers this question, is that the diagnostic step covers every level of creatinine clearance from zero to infinity. The first box is a certain number or less. The last box is a higher number or more, and the two middle boxes are everything in between. So those categories aren't doing any work. The diagnostic step says, you know, just classify the patient's creatinine clearance rate. And everyone agrees that tests for that are known in the art, not something Endo came up with. And the actual testing of a patient's creatinine clearance rate. And the last step doesn't say, doesn't tell you if it's in this box, do this, if it's in that box, do that. It just says adjust the dose if you need to adjust the dose. And the wear-in clause just says, you know, there's a certain level of oxymorphone that you can measure in the patient's system later. It's not even a certain level, it's a certain range of levels. There's a maximum bound on the amount of oxymorphone in the system. In that sense, it's like the token post-solution activity that Supreme Court has rejected in cases like Mayo and Fluke. If the patent's otherwise ineligible, then saying here's a maximum limit on creatinine or maximum limit on oxymorphone you find in the patient's system doesn't save it. And I think this is important because Vanda is a much more nuanced decision than Endo gives it credit for. Vanda didn't say any administering step will save the clams. Vanda said this administering step will save the clams. There's the diagnostic step, there's the specific doses, and there's the mechanistic tie between the diagnostic step and the dosing step where they tell the doctor exactly what to do. And you don't need to take my word for it. Judge Bryson's opinion for the District of Delaware in Pernix, Ireland versus Alvogen, 2018 Westlaw 2225113 at page 24 has two paragraphs about the district court's opinion in this case. And Judge Bryson said, quote, the representative claim in Endo is more akin to the claim in Mayo than to the claims at issue in Cells Direct, Vanda, and this case. As in Mayo, the claim at issue in Endo, in effect, simply stated the law of nature, i.e. renally impaired patients may be more sensitive to oxymorphone, while adding the words, apply it. And another important point about Mayo is it puts the lie to Endo's argument that an affirmance here would spell the end of method of treatment claims. Vanda is an example of a patent that takes a naturally occurring phenomenon and actually adds something to it. After finding the correlation, you actually do something specific, and it tells the doctor exactly what to do. Endo's claims claim a correlation and add a draft trick. And so another thing. So going back to Mayo, I mean, Vanda didn't overrule Mayo. Vanda didn't announce an exception to Mayo that you could drive a truck through. The district court and the magistrate judge were right. The claims in this case are just like the claims in Mayo. Mayo doesn't actually say administering, but the claims use the word administering, and they actually contemplate administering. They use the word administered twice. They state that certain metabolite levels, quote, indicate a need to increase the amount of said drug subsequently administered to said subject, and that another metabolite level indicates a need to decrease the amount of said drug subsequently administered to said subject. And Supreme Court, paraphrasing those claims, described them as an instruction to doctors, and that they tell doctors to, quote, reconsider the dose in light of the natural law. And to be sure, Justice Breyer did say in Mayo that the claims don't actually require the doctor to administer the drug, but that was just a comment on how easy the case was. It wasn't the only weakness in the patentee's case, and certainly not a holding that adding administer it would save the claims any more than adding apply it to other otherwise patent-ineligible claims would save them. Given the shortness of the opening argument, I guess I'll make two more quick points. There's another case about administering steps that actually addresses this point directly is Hemopet versus Hills Pet Nutrition. It's 2014 Westlaw 10317302, which this court affirmed by Rule 36 in Appeal Number 15-1218. And in that case, independent claims recited methods of analyzing nutrition for cats and dogs based on their genetic information. And a dependent claim recited the method of claim one further comprising preparing a nutritional diet based on the analyzed data.
Did you cite that case in your brief?
We did not. Would have been a
and 20, Bryson's opinion?
The one I mentioned earlier from Judge Bryson, we didn't cite in our brief. This is another one, and this is didn't cite either.
You got some more cases you didn't cite in your brief. You want to
unload
on us now?
No, just these two. To be fair, Judge Bryson's
just
opinion.
Just two, right?
Yes. Judge Bryson's opinion did come down after the breach in this case. We can submit a 28J if that would be better. I guess the last point I'll say before I sit down is at page 22 of the reply brief in text and in footnote 21, Endo accuses the district court of making a certain factual finding, saying that the correlation between renal impairment and oxymorphone was not unknown. What Endo refers to as the district judge at page 22 is the magistrate judge. And the magistrate judge makes a statement.
Page 23, you're going pretty fast, Mr. Burgess. We're on page 23. Are you complaining? A reply brief.
I'm sorry, Judge Clevenger. I'm referring to page 22.
23 of the gray brief?
Page 22 of the gray brief, yes.
Page 22. And what on page 22?
Endo says in the main text and again in the footnote that the district court made a factual finding of correlation between renal impairment and oxymorphone was not unknown. And Endo cites APPX pages 246 to 247. That is the district court, not the magistrate judge. What the district court says is at APPX 229, where he says he's not relying on that statement by the magistrate judge because it's, quote, not essential to the decision. And Judge Andrews was right. It's not essential to the decision because the Supreme Court tells us in Myriad that groundbreaking, innovative, or even brilliant discovery does not by itself satisfy the 101 inquiry. Nothing turns on that. And at APPX 229, that's the district court saying that nothing turns on that. Unless the court has further questions, we'd ask the court to confirm Mayo is still the law and Bender did not rule it and then that's a massive exception.
Thank you, counsel.
We submit that Vanda decided this case. There are, in fact, two administration steps in the claims. The first is orally administering to said patient in dependence on the creatinine clearance level, a lower dosage form, and that should be read as a lower dosage form than the subpopulation of patients which are healthy. There is then the where-in clause, which Your Honor asked about, which is limiting. It says that after administration, the blood levels have to be at a certain level, below a certain level, and the reason for that is that's the level that will resolve pain but not harm the patient. The administration of opioids is a very big deal, and the problem that the inventors discovered was that even though this is metabolized in the liver, that it was surprising that renal insufficiency was causing blood levels of the opioid to rise. So they changed the label, which has been incorporated by reference into the patent, and advised the doctors, do not prescribe the regular dose of opioids to patients with renal insufficiency. They said, you must lower the dose depending upon creatinine's clearance level. The doctors know how to do that. They can apply the test results from the patent and the specification and properly treat the patient.
Can I ask you about that wear-in clause? Am I correct in understanding that wear-in clause, in order to be satisfied, the dosage is going to change?
That is absolutely correct. If you look at the figures, what you'll see is that for a normal patient, given oxymorphone, it goes up to this level and then eases down. But for a renally impaired patient, the dose spikes. And spiking doses of opioids are very bad news. And what the patentee discovered was that you can solve that problem and give practical advice to the doctors, reduce the dosage form. But they didn't stop where Mayo stopped by saying, just think about it. They said, administer it to the patient, and then they have a very narrow wear-in clause that says you have to get the blood levels below a certain level. That's more than sufficient to narrow the claim to avoid any problems that arose in Mayo. Now, if the court were not to reverse, were to create a conflict between the claim in this case and Vanda, you'd have a terrible situation. This issue has just been settled. It was a matter.
Or you'd have a fine distinction.
What's that?
Or you would have a fine distinction.
Or you'd have a very fine distinction. And we believe that because of the last step, we are actually narrower. All that the claims in Vanda did was really divide into two subpopulations and give 0 to 12 to one and 12 to 24 to the other. Ours says you've got to titrate the dosage so that the patient's blood levels are below a specific cutoff. If you were to create a conflict between this decision and Vanda, you would upset what's now been recently settled law. There's new patent office guidance and the bar is moving forward. We don't believe that would be the appropriate decision. Judge Andrews obviously did not have the benefit of this decision when he ruled, and we believe that in light of that, the decision should be reversed.
Well, do you take any comfort in Cells Direct?
Yes, we do. Cells Direct also had a practical, real-world step. They discovered a law of nature, as is often the case in the pharmaceutical world, but then they had a practical application of that.
Well, Cells Direct also was not available to the district court, as I understand it.
I believe that's
correct. That's by a matter of months.
I believe that's correct. I believe that's correct. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
But you've got to admit that in Vanda, there are more commands to the doctors than here.
No, I wouldn't admit that at all. There's only one command to the doctor, which is once you've done the test, divide your treatment regimen, and you have two treatment regimens. The algorithm is very, very simple, actually. It says give 0 to 12 to one group and give 12 to 24 to the other group. That's all there is. And that was sufficient. They discovered that administering medicine in a different dosage form for two subpopulations was sufficient. We actually have more specificity. The doctor has to titrate for an individual patient to get down below specific blood levels.
Are you arguing you're even more specific?
Yes, I am, Your Honor, because you have to actually titrate down for a particular patient. All they said was if the patient's...
Depends on the where-in clause.
Because of the where-in clause, yes.
So if we don't, if we take the where-in clause out, the big leg falls out from your stool.
If you took the where-in clause out, we'd be much closer to where Vanda is, because then the difference would be there's still an administration step, which would take you outside of Mayo, because there's a practical effect on the patient. You'd give a lower dose to one population and a higher dose to the other population, but the where-in clause makes us narrower than Vanda even.
Thank you, counsel.
And now we will...
You'll have the time to do that, yes.